How y'all doing today? I wanted you to meet Grayson because he is a part of my illustration, and he let me borrow this today because this is part of what we're going to talk about. See what these are? Can you guys see? Keys. That's right. Amen. We're going to talk about keys today. So Lord, we just come before you this afternoon. We thank you for refreshing in our mind and our body right now that our spirit wants to receive everything that you have for us. But we ask you, Lord, to just give our bodies and our mind a refreshing right now in Jesus' name. Just go ahead and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Just build yourself up. The Bible says that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Come on, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Oh, we thank you, Father, for refreshing. We thank you for teaching us everything that we need to know today. Father, I thank you use my mouth for your words only. I thank you that every single hearer has eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to what you have for us today in Jesus' name. And everybody's in agreement with me said, amen. I am so excited about this afternoon. I got the boot a couple days ago, you know, because Josh took too long, but that's okay. I've done it to him a time or two. He always says because we travel on the road and we're always both so fired up, like whoever gets the microphone after worship gets to go. So whoever gets to it first, you know, and sometimes I'm just like lost in worship and singing and I'm like fired up to preach this word and I'm just singing and just kind of letting the Lord just do his thing in the atmosphere. And all of a sudden I hear him talk. I'm like, I was gonna go. No, I'm just teasing. He says the same thing. Sometimes he's just sitting there and just, you know, just worshiping. And I'm like, oh, this is my chance. All right, guys, this is what I want to talk to you about. No. So anyways, the Lord had his way, but I am so excited because actually a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, how many know Sarah Hart Pearson's? Are you guys excited for her and Jeremy to minister tonight? Woo! Our generals for this meeting, they're going to come and minister to us. I'm so blessed that they're going to grace us with the anointing on their life tonight. But anyway, she said, Lacey, I want you to teach on prayer. And she knew that something had been going on in my life for a long time now. She's watched it over my life. We're good friends. And she said, I want you to teach this generation about prayer. And I said, you don't have to ask me twice because this is something that is so important. So I don't want you to hear that word prayer and go like Randy, you know, like Randy did in that skit, nothing like the peace of God. Don't you fall asleep on me right now because this is the most important hour in our generation, in the earth, in these last days, that you would know about prayer and what it is. See, growing up, I didn't know about it. I didn't know about prayer. I didn't know how important it was. And even as I talk to our interns, they're like, man, we have a prayer school at Go Ministries. So for those of you who are coming, raise your hand who are coming to Go Ministries. Woo, woo! Yes! We have prayer school. And Before they came, they always said, I had no idea that there was more to prayer than just what you saw on that stage. Isn't that hilarious? How many can admit and say that's been my prayer time before? Yes, thank you for your honesty. My hand is raised. I do this thing that I like to call, I actually started when I had Mesa. I didn't realize how little sleep I would get. And I wasn't used to getting that little of sleep. And I would tell my team, I'd go, I'm going to go off to my room and go rest read. That means I'm going to go and lay with my Bible open on my chest as I rest. No, because when you live on the road, you live in a small little apartment. Or sorry, hotel room, and there's a sound machine. How many know about a sound machine? Our children use sound machines. It's like, you know, it's like setting the atmospheres for sleep and not setting the atmosphere for, like, you know, reading your Bible. It's like, and we have to close the, you know, the curtains so it's dark for the kids. And you get in there and you want to read your Bible so bad and you're like, oh, I got to just get in my word. And it's exactly like that skit. I think they wrote that because I told that story once. But so don't fall asleep on me tonight or this afternoon because this is so important what we're about to go over. And I want to start off by saying this. My pastor, Pastor Lynn Hammond. Anybody ever heard of Pastor Lynn Hammond? She's taught me everything that I know about prayer. That woman is a prayer leader. She's a prayer giant. This lady has taught thousands of people how to pray and gathers prayers for their generation. And this is what the Lord said to me. I'll read that to you in just a minute. This is what the Lord said to me over the last couple years. He prophesied over me, I think it was like 6 years ago in 2002. One of my pastor's prayer leaders laid hands on me and prophesied over me. And I had been preaching and leading worship. And she said, don't neglect the prayer inside of you. That's, the Lord was speaking to me through her. He said, it's in your heritage. It's in your blood. And don't deny the prayer inside of you. And so I kind of was like, wow, praise the Lord. And I never really wanted to be a prayer, whatever that means, okay? How many has ever thought that before? I didn't want to be like the prayers, you know? Like my best friend, Kristen, does anybody know Kristen right there? Kristen, raise your hand. Kristen, that woman can pray. I'm telling you, she can pray the house down. That girl, she spends more time on her knees than anywhere else. And I'm like, that is her job and I will support her. But I never really felt like I had a call to pray. Let me tell you something right now. Every single one of you have a call to pray. I said every single one of you have a call and a responsibility to pray, and that's why I'm here to share this with you today. So I didn't know that, and when she prophesied that, I kind of put it on the shelf, and I was like, well, praise the Lord. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, how many know Billy Brim, Miss Billy Brim, Mimi Brim? She came to our church, and she was teaching on a thing called the law of contact and transmission. I don't have time to go into it right now, but it's basically what Brother Hagin used to teach about when you lay hands on somebody, there's a transmission through faith. Whatever you have, you can give to that person according to the word and whatever the Lord is doing in that moment. And she said, after that, after she preached, she said, I'm going to lay hands on 5 people. Okay, there was probably, I don't know, 1,100 people in there. I'm going to lay hands on 5, and the Lord already knows who these 5 people are, and I'm only going to lay hands on those 5 because there's a specific reason I'm laying hands on these 5. Everything that I have, every anointing that I carry, I'm going to lay hands on these 5 people, and by faith, if they would receive it, they will have what I carry. And I'm sitting next to Meredith. You guys know Meredith back there at the soundboard. And Mara, raise your hand. And she's sitting there, and okay, so this is what everybody I can imagine is either, we're either in one of two categories that night. Oh Lord, don't let it be me. Oh Lord, don't let it be me. That one, or oh Lord, let it be me. Oh Lord, let it be me. And I was in the place of Lord, let it be me, let it be me, let it be me. And guess what? Mira was in a category all on her own. Guess what she was saying? Lord, let it be Lacey, let it be Lacey, let it be Lacey. Isn't that awesome? Don't you have good friends when they're like, oh, just give it to her? Because she knew that if I got it, she got it. Because Dad has always taught us that everybody in our ministry, if we operate in a certain anointing, our ministry is called to a certain anointing. Guess what? You have your own anointing, but you're going to come up underneath that corporate anointing, and we're all going to operate in unity underneath that, and you're going to get impartation from that anointing. So she was praying. She was in a category all on her own. I'm going, Lord, let it be me. And then I said this prayer. I said, but Lord, if it's not me, don't let it be me. Because I don't want to be selfish. I said, Lord, if it's not me, if there's 5 other people where this is for, I want it to be them. And so I just kind of changed my request. And all the while, this little intercessor over here, Meredith, was going, Lord, let it be Lacey. Lord, get it, let it be Lacey. Because if Lacey gets it, all of Go Ministries gets it. Let it be Lacey, let it be Lacey. Well, sure enough, all of a sudden, they said, hey, Lacey, she wants you. Okay, so it was like, I call her Mimi Brim. She's one of my grandmothers in the faith. I highly esteem and honor this woman of God. And so I'm just like, my heart is beating out of my chest as I'm walking up to the front. And it's only 5 people in a giant arena. So it's like, you're thinking about what's the back of my hair look like? You know, it's going to be all over those big screens. And what did I wear tonight? Man, was I led about what I wore tonight? You're walking up and you know everybody's going, oh. Wish it was them, you know, or wish it was me, you know. Everybody is watching these 5 people. Well, I had a hat on that night. I never wear a hat, but I had some really bad just bedhead that I didn't have time to take care of, and so I wore a hat. And the whole time up that aisle, the Holy Spirit is saying, take your hat off. Take your hat off. I'm like, oh my goodness, if I take my hat off, you know how bad bedhead is, and then bedhead with hat on top of it is even worse. And so I'm thinking totally natural. I need to get out of myself. But I get up there, and when she comes to me, guess what she does? She flicks my hat off of my head and she said, take your hat off in reverence. I went, oh, yes, ma'am, thank you. Oh, I should have listened. Shoot. You know, I'm like, I knew that. I was just, oh, but praise the Lord. She was so gracious to me. Anyway, she laid hands on me. And that from that night on, I began, I mean, I was out for I don't even know how long. I mean, an hour. I mean, I don't even remember being necessarily out in the power. I just wanted to make sure that everything that was being deposited, I had given it plenty of time. Do you know what I'm seeing? You know, sometimes you're just like, I don't even know why I'm laying on the floor still, but I don't want to get up just in case, you know, just in case there is something left here to receive. I'm not getting up. And that was me. I was just laying there. I'm like, I'm not moving until they're closing the lights down. I want to make sure that I get everything that God had for me. Well, one of those things, I don't know if you know this about Billy, if you've ever been under her ministry. Her ministry is called to assemble prayers and assist prayers. And it wasn't until recently that that prophecy that happened 5 or 6 years ago came back up in my spirit. And the Lord reminded me, said, you remember when I told you to not neglect the prayer inside of you? I have called you to be an end time prayer. I have called you to be a watchman over your generation. I have called you to stand in a place and assemble. And all of a sudden, when he said that, I went, you've called me to assemble. Oh my goodness, that's what Billy does. And that's what she laid hands on me, and I was to do things that she did and operated under anointings that she did. And he began to make it big in me. Is it making sense to you? He began to tell me what my assignment was where prayer was concerned, that I was to assemble prayers of the next generation and equip them and assist them in bringing in the end time movement of God. And so I'm just so excited about this morning when Sarah, or this afternoon, when Sarah asked me, she knew all these things. She knows my story. She knows what the Lord has been doing on the inside of me. And I just leaped with excitement thinking that I would get a chance to assemble some prayers this morning. So I want you to have ears to hear. There is an assembling going on for these end times, and you may be saying, I don't have any knowledge about prayer. I'm one of those people that said, I don't want to be pray. I've seen my mama pray, and I don't want to sound like that. I mean, listen, when you're called to pray, there are some things that you are called to do and go to. How many know what I'm talking about? You got to pray in mama, and you're like, man, there are sounds that I've never heard coming from her room when she's praying. And you're like, I don't want anything to do with that. But this generation is called to pray, and I'm going to show you in the word today how it is your assignment for the takeover for these end days. Listen, there is going to be no taking over anything unless we pray first. Amen. And I want to read this quote to you by my pastor. She said, our future will be more or less blessed dependent upon how much we pray. Let that sink in. Can say it like this, my future will be more or less blessed dependent upon how much you pray. Whoa. Do you know that sitting in this seat right now, you did not get here without prayer? I want you to know that you did not get here without prayer. I did not get here. I had a praying mama and a praying daddy, but my mama knew how to pray. And I ran from the Lord for 8 years of my life. And man, she was on her face praying me back. And I did not get here by myself. You did not get here by yourself. All of the saints that went before us all were praying and ushering in through their obedient prayers a move of God for these last days, the ushering in of the coming of Jesus Christ for the second time. He's coming soon. You know that, right? And all of history prayed for this moment right now. Right now, the most exciting time to be alive in all of history is right now. And guess what? You're riding on the people who prayed this in. You're riding. Your birth was riding in on a prayer that was said. Whoa. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that make you want to be a part of prayer? Especially if we're saying our future is either going to be blessed or cursed based on how much we pray. And that is my job this morning, or this afternoon. Sorry, I when I work with kids and you have babies, your time just gets away from you. And I like see everybody for the first time in the afternoon and they've already had like, you know, five services and they've already like been to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm like, good morning. It's just, you got to work with me. So this afternoon, my assignment is to assemble prayers of this generation. And I want you to be willing to open up your heart today to say, that is me. Amen. Jesus called us to pray in these last days. And I don't know if you guys have been looking around. If you've been looking around you, if you've been watching the TV, if you've been watching the news, if you've been just open to see the things that are happening in our government, things that are happening in our earth, things that are taking place on the earth, all of the disasters and all the tornadoes. If you're opening your eyes to see these things are happening and it's up to you to pray. And this is what Jesus said about it. Listen, we're going to go to Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. I'm actually going to read it in the Message Bible. I know I don't want to freak you guys out back there. For some reason, our Message Bible isn't working on the screen, but if you guys can just stay with me and listen to this, okay? This is Jesus speaking to us today, telling us to be ready and to be prayerful. Amen? He's telling us our assignment for these last days. He says, when you see soldiers camped all around Jerusalem, then you'll know that she is about to be devastated. If you're living in Judea at the time, run for the hills. If you're in the city, get out quick. If you're out in the fields, don't go home or get your coat. This is Vengeance Day. Everything written about it will come to a head. Pregnant and nursing mothers will have it especially hard. Incredible misery, torrential rage, people dropping like flies, people dragged off to prisons, Jerusalem under the boot of barbarians until the nations finish what was given them to do. It will seem like all hell has broken loose. How many think it looks like that right about now? If your eyes are open to see what's going on in the world, if you're only in your iPad and your iPod and your world is this deep right here, your eyes aren't going to be open to see what's actually happening in the earth. But if you would open up your eyes, the things that are going on in your schools, God being taken out of your schools, and the place that the enemy has where you can't even say the name of Jesus in most of your schools anymore. And we have to oblige people who don't believe and believe direct opposite of what we believe, but you can't say what you believe. These kind of things are taking place right now in the earth. And if you are more than just this deep, you would know that this is what Jesus is talking about. This is the earth that we're living on. These are the times that we are living in. And it's so great. It is so great. And you're like, this does not sound great, Lord. Just take us all right now because this does not sound great what Jesus is talking about. Well, let's just keep reading, okay? It says, it will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet. Woo! Now that is a clue of what we will look like when all of this is going on. Well, you got to listen to the words of your Jesus. You got to listen to his words. Don't listen to fear when you're reading that going, oh, my goodness, earth and moon and stars and all hell's breaking loose. And, oh, my goodness. Oh, it's going to be misery. No. Wait and listen to the words of your Jesus. He's saying that's what's going on and this is how it will seem. But you'll be up on your feet. And that's exciting for us as Christians because we get to see what our position is in these last days. Up on your feet. Stand tall. How many of you have mamas who say, help your posture because you're always like this and they put their hand in the middle of your back and say, stand tall. Stand tall. I'm one of those people. Stand tall. I tell our interns all the time, put your shoulders back. Stand tall. Sit up right now. Let's try it. Just sit tall. Sit tall. Whoo. Look at the confidence that comes. Look at this group of people that just changed before my eyes when you began to sit up and stand tall. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Don't you feel more energy, more energetic? Don't you feel more vigilant? Don't you feel a little bit more alive when you sat up like that? That's what Jesus is. He's painting a picture for us. He's saying, stand up. Up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Woo! Jesus has given us clues what it's going to look like in these last days where everybody else has hell breaking loose. Everybody else is in fear. Everybody else is crawling in a rock to hide. And he's saying, you stand tall with your head up. How will you be able to stand up and hold your head high in these last days? I'm glad you're asking that because he's going to tell us. Help is on the way. And I'm going to skip down. I'm going to skip over into the Amplified real quick. In Luke 21, all these things are taking place right now in the earth. If you've ever looked around you and gone, what in the world? What is going on? Why are there so many disasters? Why are there? Listen, it's all already written. This is all part of what is going to take place on the earth before Jesus comes. And in verse 34 in Luke 21 in the Amplified says, but take heed to yourselves and be on your guard. Stand tall, head high, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed and weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, worldly worries and cares. Now this is going to be important in a minute. Worldly worries and cares. Oh, well, what if all the money, what if they, what they say in the news is going to take place? Or what are we going to do if my parents do lose their job? And what am I going to do if, what if my school does, you know, not allow Christians? Or what are we going to do if I do have to start professing that I believe in homosexuality and Islam and I have to begin to profess things? What am I going to do? That's the care of these worldly worries. And a prayer does not carry those. A prayer knows how to hold their head high, hold their shoulders back, stand tall. A non-prayer will be overwhelmed with what Jesus is saying. Because you don't have hope of the future because you haven't been there in the Spirit. But when you've been to the future in the Spirit, you can hold your head high and you can hold your shoulders back and walk tall because you've already seen the other side because you went there in the spirit realm. Now, this is cool stuff that we're talking about today. This is really, really cool stuff that the world only writes about in movies and books. Like, I just see our generation, like, enthralled in these disgusting, demonic books about other worlds and just things that just completely contaminate your mind with these movies and these books. When if you just open this book, you see these amazing adventures and secret worlds and secret places and secret things and things that you can pray out and places you can go out of your body and play. I mean, just amazing things that we think we can only get by watching a movie or reading a book or a novel. This is the life that God has created us to have, and it's sweet. It is so sweet. If I had time, I would tell you story after story after story of places that I have been in prayer, things that I have seen in prayer that are sweet. I mean, like, shh, God's like, shh, don't tell anybody. Just keep it between us because this is about to happen and this is what, and listen, every single place I've been in the spirit, I've walked it out in the natural. It is the coolest thing. This is where God has this generation in these last days, but you have to be equipped. You have to know. You have to have understanding. You have to recognize that this is your calling and this is your place as a generation. Otherwise, you'll have no understanding of it. I can't expect something out of you that you don't know anything about. But I'm hoping that you're going to get this understanding today. Amen? Don't be overburdened and headached and nausea and of the worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of life. Lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose, for it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. Keep awake then. Here's our cue. Verse 36. Keep awake then and watch at all times. How do you keep awake and watch at all times? He's talking about a spirit place, a place of prayer. He's not talking about natural. Like, how in the world am I going to stay awake 24/7 and watch 24/7? What am I watching? Watching the news? What am I watching? CNN? What am I supposed to watch? No, he's talking to the spirit man. He's talking about a spiritual place that we are called. What is he talking about? Where I just read that from you in the message in this chapter. He's talking about the end days. And I know you've probably heard it said, but it's time that you begin to understand. You begin to say it yourself, not just hear your pastor say it, not just hear a prophet say it, not just hear your parents say it. It's time that this generation begins to recognize the times it's living in. I'm living in the end times. I'm an end time liver. I'm an end time Christian. I'm an end time daughter of God. I'm an end time son of God. And this is what I'm called to do, is usher in the coming of my King. It's time that you begin to let this be your attitude and your language, not just the ones who are saying it over you. You've got to have a recognition of where you are in these last days. And this is what's happening on the earth. Jesus just told us everything that we're experiencing right now on the earth. And then this is what he says. Be watchful. Be awake in the spirit. And he says, be discreet, attentive, and ready. Praying. 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 There it is. There's our cue. Praying that you may have the full strength. Why do we pray? That you may have the full strength. Do you see it up there? Why are we praying? Why are we praying? Why are we praying? That you will have the full strength. Listen, the way that you can walk into something with your shoulders back, your head high, and walking tall into what the enemy is about to try to do in these last days, in your generation, in your school, trying to get through every place that he can, through our government, through our world, through our earth. Listen, the devil is working over time. How are you going to walk through that with your head high? Because you've already been there. You've already seen it. The Lord has already brought you to this place of a watchman because you're a prayer over your generation. And when you get there, you're like, yeah, I've already seen this. This is covered because I prayed about this last year. My prayer team, or me and my mom, or me and my dad, or me and my prayer time, the Lord already cued me in on this. He already showed me that this was going to happen. He showed me in his word. He showed me in my prayer time. I'm ready for this. This is maybe a surprise to everybody else in your school, but it's not to you. Some things are going to start taking places in the public school system, even worse than they already have. There's things that are happening. We just had a legislator, I don't know if that's what we would call him, come to our church in Minneapolis. Was he a legislator or was he a representative of some sort? Anyways, just telling us what's coming down the pipeline for the public schools in Minneapolis or in Minnesota. It is absolutely the most demonic thing you could ever believe. You would never even believe it if they said it, except for you're living this. And I know in a lot of the southern states this isn't happening, but listen, it's going to take place. And how would you like to walk through your halls, and you got to go to public school, there's no other option for you, and you walk through and you're walking tall. You're like, yeah, I've already been here. I don't care. Yeah. And they say, this is what's going to happen. And these are some new rules that we're putting in place. How are you going to be able to walk tall? Because you're not going to be touched, because you're a watchman. You're the ones watching over those people in your school. You weren't surprised by these new rules. You weren't surprised by these things that are taking place in your generation. Why? Because you've already been there. Isn't that cool? To have access to a place of God that nobody else has. That's what Jesus is talking about. Praying that you would have full strength and ability. Full strength and ability, and be accounted worthy to escape all of these things. Listen, David talks about this in Psalms 91. Inaccessible, he says, in the secret place. Isn't that cool? We like love these movies. Like Josh and I love National Treasure movies. I know they're kind of old, but like we love anything that has to do with like you push a button and it's like, and it like opens up and like you get to go in this secret place. Like we love those kind of movies. I think there's like that one, like those fantasy movies where, oh, I can't think of what it's called. I'll totally butcher it. Where they have like that secret forest. Well, Narnia is a good one. Yeah, like all that, like, yeah, they open the thing, that the closet, and they like step in. Isn't that sweet? Like you can open a wardrobe and go to a secret land. How many think that is like the coolest thing? Like, why do we get so turned on by that? I'll tell you why. Because you are to unlock some things through your spirit man. where you can walk through a wardrobe and go into a secret place in a whole hidden land where God is revealing himself to his people. And all the other people who aren't going to that secret place, guess what is going to happen when these things come? Jesus said it. This is what's going to happen. When these things begin, the pressure begins to come on and these things start to take place. We're already seeing it in parts of the body where people are starting to get oppressed and worried with the cares of what's going on. What are we going to do? What are we going to do as a church? What's going on? Oh, all these things. And I don't even, I mean, and then they start to, you know, sink in and draw back. Listen, this is not a time to draw back. This is not a time for us to be drawn back. This is time for us to be head up, standing tall, moving full force ahead for the things of God. Why? Because we've been to this secret place. Listen, we're going to go there today, and I'm going to teach you how to get there. But how cool when you have your own wardrobe or your own secret place that's inaccessible to anybody else. It's just you and the Lord, and there's mysteries that are revealed there. There's things that other people don't know. There's things that the Lord only wants to tell you. And like I said, he says to me sometimes, like, don't tell anybody that. Don't even tell your husband. This is just between you and me. Just you and me. And you watch this thing. You watch over this thing. Sometimes he'll say, you just watch over this thing, and you're going to see it come to pass. And every time it does. This is how you're going to escape. This is how you're going to escape. You're going to open that wardrobe, and you're going to go to the secret place. Amen? So he says that you'll be able to escape all of these things, taken together that will take place, and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Whoo! This day is coming. That's why I brought this right here. This is one of Grayson's toys, and Mesa had the same set. I think it was like pink and purple, though. All pink and purple. But this is what I do with my kids. I lay on the bed with Grayson when he's playing with these or in the car or wherever, and I just begin to teach him about keys. My pastor taught me about keys. How keys in God's word and in his kingdom open up things that nothing else can open up. I said that nothing else can open up. And so I take these and I'll teach my children. I'll say, Grayson, I wrote something down so I wouldn't forget them. I'll say, Grayson, the key to salvation is believing. I'll say, Grayson, the key to his presence is worship. Right? Amen? Grayson, the key to favor with God and man is kindness. Grayson, the key to victory is praise. Grayson, the key to advancement in this life, in the kingdom life, is serving. Grayson, the key to power is the Holy Ghost. Grayson, the key to strength is joy. See, we try to go about all these things without the key. The key is his word right here, right? This is our key. You know, when you guys are all in school, you know, when you have a key on a map, and it's like, that's how you find things, right? Isn't that what that's called? Like the little legend or a key? Isn't that another word for it? Right? It's been a long time since I've been in school, but help my sister out here. I'm like starting to second guess myself. Nobody was nodding. I'm like, okay, maybe they call it something different. A key is what answers, gives you answers to the map. The word of God is the key that gives us answers to how we're to walk out this life. And there's certain keys through his word that we discover are the only way to get it. Yet we're trying to get joy by some other way, getting high or whatever. You know, getting high makes you laugh, but it goes away. And then you're depressed. And it's even worse after. And then you got to get high again to get some more joy. And then it feels good at the time, but then you got to get high again to get some more joy. See, the key to joy, the key to strength is joy. You're feeling weak. Oh, I'm just going to get an energy drink. I'm just going to, you know, get steroids or whatever it is. The key to strength is joy, according to the word. So you just need some joy in your life. You need to get some friends who are happy. Sign up for Go Ministries blog or something, man. We'll make you happy every day. I live a joyful, strength-filled life because I am around funny people all the time. And I am full of joy. Get yourself surrounded with some joyous people. Amen? If you need strength, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling depressed, sometimes we go to cutting or, you know, if I cut myself, then that's the answer to, you know, not feeling this way anymore. You just need some joy. There's keys in the Word of God that will unlock things for you. Now, here's what we're talking about today, okay? So that was just extra. That was just a little tidbit for you. You can write all those down if you want. But the key to intimacy with God is prayer. The key to intimacy with God is prayer. And I think that's the reason sometimes we deny a prayer-filled life. Because maybe we're afraid or intimidated of intimacy with God. We're okay with going to the altar and having his presence and that short bit of intimacy for about 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes. And sometimes even we get uncomfortable at once it hits 30 minutes. It's like, okay, what's going to happen next? Is there something that's supposed to take place next? Or what's the next in the service? We're even intimidated by that. So I think that this generation has to want and desire intimacy with God in order to have a prayer-filled life. Because if you don't desire that, then you'll never go after prayer. Because prayer is the key to intimacy with the Lord. But intimacy with, I know it's a kind of a strange word for our generation. It's like, let's just say it like this. Like, when we think of intimacy, we think of sex, right? It's like, man, oh my goodness, you just said sex. Oh my goodness. Please. I will say it 50 more times until you guys are not looking at me like that. You guys hear it in rap videos, you see it on TV, you watch shows, you watch videos, you read books, it's in every song. But then a preacher says sex, and we're all like, oh my goodness. I know. Somebody said, I think it was either sex or something else, and we were in the back, another preacher, and I heard all the snickering, everybody was like, and I leaned over to my dad, and I elbowed him, I'm like, that's why I love youth ministry right there. That's why I love youth ministry. I'll never leave youth ministry unless the Lord tells me to, because that's it right there. I love young people. I love how we think. I love the position that you're at. I love what God is doing in you. But a lot of times we think that word is so unfamiliar, because all we know about intimacy is sex. But intimacy with the Lord is really, it's not that at all. According to Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 8. Actually, let's just go there real quick. I'm going to read this fast. This is going to be speed reading, okay? So you got to catch it or read it up there, okay? Philippians 3, verse 8. This is intimacy with God, okay? So get that old way of thinking. We're transforming our mind and our attitude, right? So get that old way and not being afraid of intimacy. We're going to look at what intimacy looks like. It's Paul's cry right here. Yes, furthermore, I count everything a loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. It's just getting more in more knowledge and knowing your Jesus more. How many know that's all we want, right? Every time we're at the altar, every time we come here, we're like, Lord, all I want is more of you, right? That's why we're here. All I want is more of you. That is intimacy. And the key to intimacy is prayer. You will not get there like by just going up to the altar every single time and getting his presence and using his presence as, you know, a pick-me-up or a fix, a quick fix to try to get intimacy with the Lord. It's going to bring you places. It's going to set you free. His presence is there for a purpose. But prayer will unlock this knowing God in a new way. Understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I've lost everything and consider it to be mere rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Verse 9, and that I may actually be found and known as in him. That's my favorite. This is my favorite scripture. If anyone ever asked me, this is my favorite scripture. I want to be found in him. This is intimacy with the Lord. Hey, what's your name? Well, oh, I love that. Where's Grace? Does anybody know where Grace is? Anybody know where Grace is? Where's Grace? Anybody know where Grace is? I want the answer to that. You want the answer to that to be, oh, she's in him. Oh, she's in Jesus. Oh, she's in Jesus. That's what my life's cry is, that I would be found in him. The same way that Paul said, I want to be found in him. Let me tell you a funny story real quick. As a mama, you just don't get like your whole life has changed in the most beautiful, amazing way, but it's comical because you are needed so much 24/7. You guys know what that is like. It's like you got to call your mama if you need anything. And my children, even though my husband is very active, Josh is the most amazing daddy. I'm telling you, if you ever want to learn how to be a daddy, you need to watch Josh. He is so loving. He's so fun. He feeds them. He changes diapers. He puts them to bed. He bathes. He gives them talks. He reads books. I mean, he does it all. But for some reason, there's just something about the mama. And we'll be sitting on the couch, or Josh will be sitting on the couch with the kids, and I'm in the kitchen, you know, cooking and changing the trash and wiping down the counters and trying to put my, you know, my mascara on to run out the door at the same time. And Mesa will be like, mama, mama, mommy, 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 mommy. I'm like, she's sitting right next to Josh on the couch. You have a dad. He's sitting right next to you. Like, why are you calling me? I'm like tucked away, you know, in my bathroom. Okay. I'll tell you a secret thing about moms. Your children will find you wherever you are. And it is a luxury to go to the bathroom as a mom. Right, Kristen? It's a luxury. You like go in the bathroom, and I'm not trying to be crude because I'm a Southern girl and I'm not going to go there, but it's you're in the bathroom and you're just like, "Oh. Wow, now I love my kids with a deep love and I will give anything for them, but those just 5 minutes are so amazing. Like in the room, I'm just like in the bathroom. You never thought the bathroom would become a beautiful place, but you're just like, oh, this is so amazing. I'm gonna check Instagram or something, you know, or like, it's just like, this is so wonderful. Well, dads, it's like they could disappear for 30 minutes and nobody would care. It's like, where's dad? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. You know, he could be playing video games in the basement. Nobody cares where dad is, you know? That's why we're men. Wow. Yes. Hey, that's right. Okay, so anyways. So the bathroom is a luxury, and I'll be in the bathroom and like, oh, this is so wonderful. And then this one time all of a sudden, and this is so funny because Sarah had the same experience, and it's just funny as you share these stories, you're like, that has happened to me. I see these fingers underneath the door. Mommy, mommy, mommy. And pretty soon I see a little shadow and like a nose, like, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, I'm in here. And you like hear the door, you know, like trying to open. You're like, it's locked. And she's like, daddy, can you get the key to the bathroom? I'm like, no. Don't get the key. I'm in here. I am in the bathroom. And I think that's funny that if anyone's trying, we laugh about it now. That's hilarious, but that's how I want to be. I want to be locked away in him where if anyone knows, needs to come find me, if anyone needs to know where Lacey is, she can be found in him. Amen. If anyone is looking for you, you're found in him. That's the kind of intimacy that Paul is talking about here. I want to be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, which comes through, but possessing genuine righteousness, which comes only through faith in Christ, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith for my determined purpose. Here it is. This is intimacy, that I may know him. That's all intimacy is, knowing God more. There are so many facets to Jesus that we've never discovered that you can only discover through intimacy with him. He can't reveal these things. When you're intimate with a husband or a wife, when there's things that were revealed to me about Josh and things that I saw about Josh, sides that I saw about him that I could have never, ever, ever seen before we got married. That intimacy brought us closer to a place that we didn't know about each other before. The same thing with the Lord. Prayer will bring you to a place of intimacy with the Lord where he'll draw you in and you'll begin to see things that you never saw about the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a PK or you grew up in church your whole life, you've attended every single conference, you went up to the altar every time you could. There's some things that you will see about the Lord Jesus when you are intimate with him that you could have never seen before. And I believe that will stir you up on the inside, a new hunger and new desire to see God in a new way, that you're going to become a prayer today. Because if there's any hunger in you right now, you're going, well, that's what I want. I want to see that side of God. There's sides that I've never seen. Oh, and they just keep coming. The more deep you get, the more you begin to see. And it's just amazing. And that's what Paul is talking about right here. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person. Just listen to how he's talking about Jesus more strongly and more clearly, that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Well, there it is. And that's the same exact mirror as Ephesians 1 and 2, where it's saying this intimacy, this revealing only brings ability to operate in the power that God has given you. How many times have you said, well, here you go. You got the Holy Ghost. Now you need to go out there and you need to change your world and you need to take over everything for the Lord. Well, it's a great idea. But unless it is catapulted or started from this place of intimacy in prayer, you're not going anywhere. You're not. I've tried. I have a lot of zeal and I have a lot of excitement. I'm very charismatic and I can go after something and get it done. But every time I fail, if it does not come from a place from within, you gotta come from within out. That's what Paul is saying, so that you may know the power that is being exerted for you. In Ephesians 1, he's saying the power that is he's wanting to exert through his church. But it's got to come from a revelation of seeing him, a revelation of light that comes from him being revealed. And he cannot reveal himself to a generation that's not willing to go and find him. Why? Because he already wrote the book. He said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. It's not like a challenge. Sometimes we think that's a challenge. Like, well, he's not going to show himself unless I'm going to go. And we kind of like get some pride there. He's just saying, I can't even be seen until you come in close. The realness and the bigness of who I am can't even be seen in these surfacey things. You got to come deeper. It's not a challenge. Like, okay, yeah, if you want to seek me, then I'll seek you. God, listen, he's love. It's not like that. It's just the inner, what does Paul say? The wonders of his person can't be revealed until we're in that secret place with him. So we can know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which he exerts over believers, that I may so share in his suffering as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in hope that if possible, I may attain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. And then he says, goes on to say, not that I've attained this yet, but this is what I am going after. This is what I am pressing toward. Amen? But there has to be a pressing toward. There has to be a generation that's pressing towards intimacy with the Lord through prayer. And now this is another thing. I'm going quick because I know they're going to give me the sign here pretty quick, but I got to get this out before we end. Another key that involves prayer. Key to intimacy is what? Prayer. A key to the days we're living in, these last days, is prayer. We just read it. How will we be watchmen? How will we know? How will we be able to walk straight? Is through prayer. Jesus commanded us to pray. When these things were taking place, stand tall, be watchful, and pray. Amen? So in order, with those two together, I can see a generation that is hungering after the Lord, going to the secret place to see Jesus more clearly, the wonders of his person, getting so intimate with him. And when you begin to see the wonders of Jesus, when you begin to see just who he is, what does it say? That same power begins to get on you. You start rubbing off on each other. You know, when you've got friends and have you ever heard your parents say, oh, you know, you're acting just like your friends, or I don't want you hanging out with them because you've just started talking like them and acting like them. That's how it is with Jesus. The more time you spend in this secret place, the more intimate you get with him, you start rubbing shoulders with Jesus. You start coming out looking like Jesus. You start coming out walking in power like Jesus. You begin to speak to things like Jesus spoke to things. You begin to pray like Jesus prayed. You begin to deal with sickness the way that Jesus dealt with sickness. You begin to deal with sin the way that Jesus dealt with sin. You're a different person when you come out of your prayer closet than you are when you went in. And I want to read this quote to you. This is one of my favorite quotes. You guys with me? By C.S. Lewis. You guys know C.S. Lewis? Or of C.S. Lewis, not know him, but of him. He says, I pray because I can't help myself. Because the need flows out of me all the time. Walking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. And I think that's another misconception that we have about prayer. If I were to say, if you could answer me, what do you think prayer is? Well, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is asking God. Prayer, if we could get us out of the equation of prayer and just get him in it, we would begin to really understand what actually prayer does. It, like C.S. Lewis says, prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me. Amen? Now, we can request, according to Jesus, we can request things of the Lord, and he will do that for you. Don't get me wrong. You can go to the Lord and ask him for things in his name, and the Lord will do it for you. But prayer changes you. You aren't the same when you go into the secret place than you are when you went in. You're different. You have a new light. You're seeing the wonders of his person. You're beginning to look like Jesus. And in these last days, you have got to be out ahead. And so I've got just, as I close, I've got just a couple of things that I can give you some tips on that I teach our, Siri's not available. Oh, what does that mean? Anthony was like, when you use my iPad, you look so cool. I was like, oh, great, but I don't know how to get back to my notes. I'm 31, people. Okay, here we go. You'd think I'd be more technically advanced than this. I got it. Thank you. Yeah, and I saw what you wrote at the end of my notes. At the very bottom of my notes, I was like going over them back there. At the very bottom of my notes, it says, Anthony, I don't know who Anthony is. Anthony Smith is the best cousin ever. Do you know Anthony and I are cousins? Yeah, and Randy, we're all cousins, we're all related. But I don't know who Anthony is, but he's obviously a cousin that I've never met before, but he's never been good at spelling. He barely. Okay, I'm going to verse you just for a little bit. Okay, you guys ready? Get your notes out. You got your pens and papers. Okay, I want to just teach you something. I don't have all week to teach on prayer, but I want to give you an appetite for prayer. I want to whet your taste buds, so to speak, just about prayer. There are so many different kinds of prayer. Like I said, if I were to ask you, what is prayer? You may say, it's talking to God. Okay, yes. And maybe you've already heard preached that you can go to the Lord in the name of Jesus and ask anything that is according to his will, and he will do it for you. Yes, but that's not prayer. That's something Jesus said we could do. That's something he said we could go and get requests, done for us from the Lord. That's not necessarily prayer. That's asking God for something. And a lot of times we think that's what our prayer life consists of, asking God for things. If we could all admit it, you don't have to raise your hand, but that's how my prayer life was for a long time, just asking God for things. And I love how C.S. Lewis put it, said, no, prayer, it doesn't change God. He already said he'd do it for you if you ask him. Prayer changes us. Amen? There's so many different kinds of prayers that I want to just whet your appetite, and I would suggest you get anything by Billy or Lynn, and if you want to learn more about prayer, and we're going to do something that I know that the Lord has told me to do before we end this, but there's 9 different kinds of prayer found in the Bible, okay? So let me whet your appetite. Number 1, prayer that changes things. Prayers that change things. How many want to be a prayer that knows how to pray things to change? I don't want my prayers to be hitting a wall. I want to be a prayer who knows how to change things. Amen? There's a prayer of agreement. There's a prayer of binding and loosing. There's a prayer of faith. There's a prayer of petition. There's a prayer of intercessory. There's a prayer of united prayers. There's the prayer of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And that's the one that glorifies the Lord. Prayer of alignment. And a prayer of casting your cares, and prayer of dedication and consecration. Now, I wish I had time to go into all those, but I don't. If you come to Go Ministries, we have prayer school so you can learn about it. But listen, I want to whet your appetite. You're like, what? I love these faces. You guys are like, oh my goodness, what? What? Okay, I'll read them. Okay, I'll read them slower. Okay, prayers that change things. The prayer of agreement. The prayer of binding and loosing. Prayer of faith. Come on, you got to be fast. If you're going to college, you better start learning to write faster than that. Prayer of petition. Prayer of intercessory. Oh, I knew that was coming. INTERCESSORY. United prayer. Prayer of thanksgiving, praise and worship, one that glorifies the Lord. Prayers of alignment. Casting your cares is a prayer. A prayer of dedication and consecration. If you didn't get all of them, you can see me after and I can get them to you. I just want to whet your appetite to a generation to know that there is so much more depth to your prayer walk and your prayer life than maybe what you've been doing. Amen? And today I felt so impressed by the Holy Spirit. As I told you that story, Miss Billy laid hands on me. And I know that part of my assignment these last days is to assemble and assist prayers. And in April, I was up in the middle of the night feeding my son. And the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, I want you to assemble a generation of prayers. And I thought that meant for the people that I knew, and there are some people, you know, the generation that your parents and your grandparents came from, they had prayers. But where are the prayers for our generation is how the Lord said it to me. Where are you? And I said, well, me and Kay are here. Me and Kristen, my best friend, we're here. He said, yeah, but me and Meredith, here we are. But where's the rest? He said, it's your job, Lacey, to equip them and assemble them and assist them. And so I'm so thankful that I was given this opportunity to whet your appetite for prayer today, that maybe I could plant a seed that this is part of your calling in these last days, because our future is going to be more or less blessed. Your children's future is going to be more or less. How many would say, yeah, I want my children to be cursed. I want my children to have less. I want my children to have nothing. You're out of your right mind, except for that guy over there who we're going to lay hands on after, hard, fast, and continuously. There's always one guy. I love the one guy. That's another reason I love youth ministry. There's always the one guy. Like, how many just love eating nasty, raw things? Yeah! Yeah! I mean, they just say yeah with their fist, like, they think this is it, but this is actually I love you, and they're like, yeah! There's always one guy in the crowd. That's why I love youth ministry. You guys are so awesome. But of course not, but it's up to you. It's up to you that your future and the children that are to come and the generations that are to come are going to be riding on your prayers. I want you to take responsibility for that right now. I want you to say, Lord, is that a good thing right now? Or is that a bad thing? If it's a bad thing, it's not too late to change. Because God, Jesus, in these last days is assembling his end time prayers. That night in April, he said, I want you to assemble a group called ETPs. And my dad grew up, he's been in youth ministry 40 years. He always used, what are those called? Acronyms. And I just loved them, but I've never done acronyms. And so when he said it to me, I went, oh, that's an acronym. He didn't even have to tell me what it was for. He said, I want you to call them ETPs, and I wrote it down, and he didn't even have to finish the sentence. I said, end time prayers. He said, I want you to join a generation to pray, just like Lynn and Billy joined a generation to pray, and there's several other that I've done it, but he said, I want you to stand in that place for your generation. And so I began to invite people to this prayer group, and that's one of the first things I want to tell you as something that you can do to get deeper in prayer. I want you to join a prayer group. How many have prayer groups at their church or know of a prayer group that they can get involved in, or you have people that know how to pray? Okay. If you don't have a prayer group or something going on at your church, I guarantee your church has something. Get involved in it. Get around people who've been doing it a lot longer than you. Man, just be a fly on the wall, just watching. Whoa, some stuff goes down in those prayer rooms, and you're just like, this is so cool. Get involved in a prayer group. And if there's no prayer group for you to get involved in, I encourage you to start one. And the only thing you need to do to start a prayer group, what is a group? Plus one. So I really do encourage you, although this is an intimate place the Lord wants to bring you personally, it helps to have somebody. It really does. You're going to get intimate with the Lord between you and him in your own prayer life, according to everything that we just, you know, everything that was just deposited. We want to get intimate with the Lord. Amen? But get somebody. And it doesn't matter if neither one of you know how to pray. You just begin to start. How many are filled with the Holy Spirit? We've already covered that. And if you're not, listen, I want you to stay after and I want to pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit, because you cannot pray the way that Jesus asked us to pray. He said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come can't come without the Holy Ghost. Thy kingdom come was the Holy Spirit playing tag, you're it, with Jesus on his way up. The Holy Spirit came down and his kingdom was established on earth. And his will cannot be done on the earth without the Holy Spirit. So you can't even begin to know how to pray without him. So if you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, come up after. We'll lay hands on you and we'll help you. You need to get filled. But you get somebody with you. And if you just, all you know is tongues, you just begin to pray in tongues. Now, those other nine ways you can learn about later, but just begin to pray in the Spirit. Those disciples on that day of Pentecost in the upper room, they didn't know all these different ways to pray. Jesus had told them one way. Well, he told them actually a few ways to pray, but they didn't know a whole lot. They just, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hit them and they just began to speak in other tongues. And the power started happening. They began to gather together in unity over that prayer. So get somebody with you to begin to start to pray. Amen? It's amazing. You guys will share something so intimate. Me and Kristen, we've been praying together for a long time. Me and Meredith, we've been praying together for a long time. And man, we see things and have gone places and have done things that nobody else knows about. Kristen will come over to my house and we'll go in my room or in her house or whatever. The guys will play video games. Josh and Jason, they like to play all those, what are they, Jason? Call of Duty, yeah, they like to play video games. They're doing manly stuff, you know, getting ready for end time, manly stuff, you know, but I learned, whatever. And me and Kristen are in the room, and I mean, we're just having fun in the Spirit. And we'll come out, like, to get something to drink, and we're, you know, just in a different realm. And they're like, oh, and like, we'll start talking together in front of them, like, oh, and she, oh my goodness, the Lord is just, and you know, we're just in this place. And they'll be like, you guys are so weird. You guys are so, how many have ever said that to your mom, man? She is so weird. Mom, please keep your tongues down, please. That is so embarrassing. Oh my goodness. But listen, this is what God has called you to. Pretty soon you'll start to embarrass yourself. But it's outside of your realm. It's outside of the natural, because you're going to a secret place, a spirit place that God is drawing you to, where you're going to know stuff. And I'm like, you may think that we're weird, Josh, but we know some things, okay? So we know some things that you don't know, and you're going to be happy that I know when we get there. Amen? I'm not saying Josh doesn't pray, but I'm telling you, Kay and I know how to get on our faces and hear from God. Find somebody that you can get and get in the Spirit with and begin to pray. Amen. The Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, just write this down. The Bible tells us to pray with all manner of prayer and entreaty. This is your job. This is your assignment. Ephesians 1:17, well, actually not just Ephesians, but Ephesians 1:17, Colossians 1:9, all throughout the epistles, there are prayers that Paul wrote. If you want to know where to start, how do I start praying? Tongues. We just talked about that, okay? Get a prayer partner. Start partnering up in prayer. Also, go to the epistles where the Pauline prayers are. Have you ever heard of that? The Pauline prayers. Begin to pray those things. Those are prayers for us. Begin to pray those things over yourself, over your life, over those people in your family, over those people that you, over the people in your school, whatever it is, those are prayers for us to pray over. I'm telling you, I was challenged to pray Ephesians 1:17 through verse 23 over my life for a solid year and see what happened. I became a minister of the gospel in that year. I prayed Ephesians 1:17 through 23 for a solid year over my life, and I became a minister of the gospel in that year. Prayer changes things. I challenge you. If you want to know where do I start, go to those Pauline prayers and begin to pray those things over you. Also, Psalms is filled with prayers. Actually, there's a lot of definition that comes to those nine ways of praying, those nine different ways to pray. A lot of that definition comes from Psalms. There's a lot of prayers that David wrote where you can, I mean, Psalm 24, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What do you think he's doing? He's on his knees praying. He's on his knees praying. 23, thank you. On his knees praying. My brother back there had me, well, he's like 23. Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for because he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Talk about walking tall. That is a prayer of faith. That is a prayer of exhorting yourself, knowing how to walk these things out. So you can start in the Psalms, find those things out and read them for yourself and begin to let it take over your prayer life. Let it begin to be the words that come out of your mouth in your new prayer assignment, in your new prayer life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Anthony Smith is the best cousin ever. This is what I want to do since I have a little bit of time. If you guys find out who Anthony is, you tell me, okay? Anthony. If you have felt from the very beginning, maybe you know, through your parents or your church, or maybe it's been prophesied over you like it was me, but something inside of you has always felt a call to pray, I want you to stand to your feet right now. And maybe after today, after this sermon, you're like, man, that's me. That went off in me like a fireworks on the 4th of July. That's today. That went off in me like the 4th of July on the inside. That is what I know I am called to do in these end times. I want you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to take a little bit more time because I know there's more than this. I've already seen you in the spirit. You're like, oh, great. Lacey's already been there. I better stand. She's got my number. No, I'm not going to call you out. I'm just saying, obey. Obey. Don't say what I said. Well, I don't want to be one of those people. That means I've got responsibility. Oh, it's the greatest responsibility. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. Jesus said that his yoke was easy and his burden is light. It's not hard on you. You may have looked at your parents and praying and you're like, man, that's hard work. They got to dedicate a lot of time. And oh man, no, but when you have this intimacy with Jesus, it draws you. It draws you away. It draws you away. Sometimes I'll say, kids, Josh, I got to be drawn away right now. I'll see you in about an hour. I got to be drawn away. It's the most exciting adventure. Anybody else? I'm just going to wait another minute. If there's anybody else that would be bold enough to say, hey, listen, what was Brother Josh talking about last night? Yeah, being the first to do it. Come on, stepping out of the natural, stepping out of that whatever's been hindering you, saying, I'm not able, I don't know, I've not prayed enough, I've not done enough, I've heard other people pray and I don't know how to do that. Don't let those lies restrict you. Don't let those voices restrict you. I'm asking you, just like Brother Josh was talking about last night, listen to one voice right now, and that's the voice of the Spirit of God inside of you that's saying, this is what I've called you to, and I want you to stand up and be in your place. Because guess what? Next week, I'm not going to be here. And the Lord called me to assemble prayers. I'm not saying it's your only opportunity. I'm just saying he's called me to assemble prayers. And he told me in this meeting I was to assemble the prayers and I was to lay hands on them and I was to assign them to be watchmen over their generation. So if that's you, I've got about 15 more seconds. Now, right now, I'd like to invite my ETPs up here, please. I've got my end time prayers that are already part of our small little group. Listen, we're going to be huge. We're going to be huge. We're adding daily. Amen. But we've got a handful of prayers. And listen, these girls know how to rock the world with their prayers. Listen, we have hit some things. We've been praying over you. Yes. Right here, this group. They've seen your faces. We call out your names. I mean, talk about knowing things before you even get there. I mean, isn't this cool stuff? These women know how to pray, and I want to lay hands on you guys. If you guys would just come to the front, if we could just move this. Thanks, guys. Praise the Lord. What an army. I got to get up here and look at this. We're going to do this quick because they could give us the sign anytime. All we're going to do is lay hands on you. And listen, we don't need to have a Hyundai, Shandai, you know, raise the roof moment. There's just an impartation that we're called to pray, and so are you. So we're going to join together to be watchmen over our generation. Are you ready for it? Amen. And then if I could just have some of our guys who have been in under our impartation, and we're going to, I want you guys to lay hands on the guys and the girls lay hands on the girls, and we are stopping after this. We're going to be dismissed. And if you want to stick around later and we can talk, or you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll do that. But right now, I just want everybody to go ahead and go lay hands on every single person with impartation. Just fire of God, just give it to them. Thank you, Lord.